Chapter 5. A Shark Waits. Meanwhile, the oiler rowed, and then the correspondent rowed. Gray-faced and bowed forward, they mechanically, turn by turn, worked the heavy oars. The form of the lighthouse had disappeared from the southern horizon, but finally a pale star appeared, just lifting from the sea. The land had disappeared and was known only by the low roar of the surf.
"If I am going to drown, if I am going to drown, why in the name of the seven mad gods who rule the sea was I allowed to come thus far and contemplate sand and trees? Was I brought here merely to have my nose dragged away as I was about to bite the cheese of life?"
The captain, bent over the water jar, was sometimes obliged to speak to the oarsman.
"Keep her head up! Keep her head up!"
"Keeping her head up, sir." The voices were tired and low. This was surely a quiet evening. All except the oarsman lay heavily and listlessly in the boat's bottom. As for him, his eyes were just capable of noting the tall black waves that swept forward in a threatening silence. The cook's head was on a seat, and he looked without interest at the water under his nose. He was deep in other scenes, but finally he spoke.
"Billy," he whispered as if dreaming, "what kind of sweets do you like best?"
"Sweets?" said the oiler and the correspondent, annoyed. "Don't talk about those things," continued the oiler.
"Well," said the cook, "I was just thinking about ham sandwiches and..."
The plan of the oiler and the correspondent was for one to row until he lost the ability, and then wake the other from his seawater bed in the bottom of the boat. The oiler rowed the oars until his head fell forward and the power of sleep blinded him. Then he touched a man in the bottom of the boat and called his name.
"Will you take over for a little while?" he said quietly.
"Sure, Billy,"
said the correspondent, awakening and dragging himself to a sitting position. They exchanged places carefully, and the oiler, lying down into the seawater at the cook's side, seemed to go to sleep instantly. The violence of the sea had ceased, and the waves came almost gently. The obligation of the man at the oars was to keep the boat straight so that the waves would not turn her over or swamp her. The black waves were silent and hard to be seen, so that often one was almost upon the boat before the oarsman was aware. In a low voice, the correspondent addressed the captain. He was not sure that the captain was awake, although this iron man seemed to always be awake.
"Captain, shall I keep steering her toward that northern light, sir?"
The same steady voice answered him.
"Yes, keep it heading north-northwest."
The correspondent, as he rowed, looked down at the two men sleeping under his foot. The cook's arm was around the oiler's shoulders, and with their torn clothing and tired faces, they seemed innocent and trusting. Later, he must have grown stupid at his work, for suddenly a wave came with a roar and a splash into the boat. It was a wonder that it did not set the sleeping cook floating away. The cook continued to sleep, but the oiler sat up, blinking his eyes and shaking from the new cold.
"Oh, I'm awfully sorry, Billy," said the correspondent.
"That's all right, old boy," said the oiler, lying down again to sleep.
At this point, it seemed that even the captain dozed, and the correspondent thought that he was the only man in all the oceans. The wind had a voice as it came over the waves, and it was sadder than the end of the world. There was a long, loud swish at the back of the boat, and a shining trail of light, like blue flame, was moving in the black waters. It might have been made by a monstrous knife. Then it was still while the correspondent breathed with an open mouth and looked at the sea. Suddenly there was another swish and another long flash of bluish light, and this time it was right next to the boat. The correspondent saw an enormous shark speed like a shadow through the water, leaving a long, shining trail. The correspondent looked over his shoulder at the captain, whose face was hidden and who seemed to be asleep. He looked at the sleeping men. Alone and receiving no sympathy, He leaned a little way to one side and swore softly into the sea. But the thing did not then leave the area around the boat. Ahead or behind, on one side or the other, in long or short strokes, the shark could be heard. The speed and power of the thing was admirable. It cut the water like a giant sharp knife. The presence of this waiting creature did not affect the man with the same horror that it would if he had been walking on the beach. He simply looked at the sea and swore quietly. Nevertheless, it is true that he did not wish to be alone with the thing. He wished one of his companions would wake by chance and keep him company. But the captain hung motionless over the water jar, and the oiler and the cook were sleeping deeply in the bottom of the boat.